1FM, 3WBC.
Celebrate footy season with your favourite 4 and 20. Grab one hot in your local convenience store pie warmer or supermarket freezer aisle today.
Oh, what a lovely pie, me mates, a 4 and 20 pie. Hurry!
4 and 20 are a 3WBC sponsor.
And welcome to VFL Rewind. We are back again for another episode. It is the 5th of June and we are right into winter now. Winter is upon us, cold, wet weather footy. And when we see winter, we see some close scores and we had some really close ones on the weekend. Some absolute ripping games and some games that, yeah, less than a kick. We've got a big show tonight. We've got Jenny Loughlin from the AFL on to talk about, who's basically, Jenny Loughlin's sort of in charge of the operations of the VFL competition. So we're looking forward to chatting to Jenny. We've got great man Mark Stone on as well, Werribee recruiter, obviously all-round good guy, known very well around the VFL traps, an absolute legend of the VFL in Brian Mace on as our VFA legend. Not many blokes got a grandstand named after him, so looking forward to chatting to Brian. And as per usual, joined by the great man Peter Lausch. Lausche, welcome to VFL Rewind for tonight.
Thank you, Brad. And yeah, definitely a great weekend of footy, both VFL and VFLW-wise. A lot of close games. Don't think there was any blowouts apart from the Port Melbourne Gold Coast Suns game, which was a margin of over 10 goals. But very exciting time. We're midway, so
we're halfway there.
Yeah, that's why we've got Stoney on, because Stoney knows his VFL footy, and we sort of like doing a mid-year report with Stoney. And maybe in coming weeks, we'll even have Jonty Rhodes and a few others on to
have a chat to a few people who are around the traps, who are hearing some good things. What's going on? You know, Stoney might have a bit of news for us tonight. I want to mention one thing straight off the top. Southport Sharks, have they walked under a ladder or something? Or are they? No, they seem to. They've got a percentage of 120, and they have lost. What is it? Six games, and they've got a percentage of 120. They're 4-6. So they have to be the most unluckiest team in the league at the moment. Unbelievable. Yeah. They've just lost a few games with less than a kick.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I know Steve's probably hurting and bleeding when you lose games like that. Like, you know, it doesn't matter what level you coach, when you lose games by small amounts like that, and could be costly at the end of the year. But unfortunately, it's just one of those things with Southport right now. They've got the injuries. They've got a fairly young list. They've just got to ride through this rough time. The beauty about this is there's probably players that are now getting games that wouldn't have got games until either later on in the year or possibly not until 2024. So it may look a little bit bleak right now, but there are some positives as well coming out of that. So I'm sure we'll see Southport.
They'll make the final. They'll make the top 10. Yeah, no. 100%. Yeah, I will be very shocked that they make the top 10.
I will say that Southport, if they get some of their top liners back as well around finals time, even though they might be a little bit underdone, could actually cause carnage once they get into that finals, because they've got quality people on every line when you look at that side when they're fully fit. So, and they've got a quality coaching staff that knows what it takes to actually get to a grand final and win grand finals, obviously not in the VFL but in the NEAFL. So
definitely
don't write them off yet.
Let's start sucking the scores. Southport are defeated by Casey 76-75. A bit of a surprise. I guess Casey have fallen off the radar a little bit. Werribee versus Coburg. Werribee 97 defeated Coburg by 60 points, which is probably no surprise, but good to see Coburg. They were battling throughout that game. Bit of a blowout in the end, but Gold Coast Suns come with, I think it was 20-odd AFL listed, and yeah, Blue Port Melbourne off the park, 115-51. Yeah. Box Hill versus Williamstown.
Yeah, that's no surprise really, because if you look at recent history between these two clubs, generally Williamstown have won at Box Hill and Box Hill have won at Williamstown. So this was a really good game. Like Gemma and Fletcher and I tipped there was going to be a close game throughout the day, and the lead did change a couple of times, and I think it was 9 points to Williamstown at quarter time, 9 points to Box Hill at half time, 8 points to Williamstown three quarter time, or maybe been the other way around. So, every time these two meet, we know we're going to get a good game.
It's always going to be on when them two sides play. That's for sure. They're quality teams this year. Both teams have probably come. Box Hill were pretty good last year, but Williamstown obviously were nowhere near it. So it's good to see that both teams are up and about this year.
Yeah, of course, yeah. And Ben Jolly, okay, he didn't have as much as of the ball as he has in recent weeks. I don't know if he's going into preservation mode just to make sure he gets to those little milestones that are now happening. Like this week he equals Fred Cook's record of 300 games. Then in 2 weeks after that he's got Billy Swan, and then he takes the lead outright. So if he's gone into protection mode, I don't blame Ben if he's done that. So just taking care of business and all that. I'll continue on with some of the scores here now. Frankston, 3-point loss to...
They're up. They're up for most of the day too. That was a really tough loss. I thought they were home, and Carlton just come home strong in the last quarter and overrun them. So, done to Carlton. But, the Dollies, they've been pretty stiff. They started the year off pretty ordinary, but they've been good probably the past month or so. Rendell in the ruck, 43 hit outs. He's having a good year, Rendell.
They've got some real quality players, Frankston, and hopefully they can just add to that, and then 2024 they can not only get players drafted but also probably sneak into the top eight. 10-13-73 were defeated by Carlton, 10-16-76. Down at Avalon Airport Oval, the Doggies playing one of their home games down there. 15-18-108 to 7-8-50 Geelong. At one stage, this had the hallmarks of a 20-goal win by the Doggies, but they obviously slowed up, and Geelong either through moving the whiteboard around and getting the mix right down back and in the midfield, obviously then was able to stem the bleeding that was happening early on. A nice close game at Giant Stadium up in Western Sydney between the Giants and Richmond, and really the Giants should have won this one as well.
After the siren.
Yeah.
Bauer, on his 21st birthday, Michael Robinson informed me. So Robbo's always on the ball with his information.
I'm pretty sure Robbo probably even sent him a happy birthday message. 12-8-80 to 10-22-82 to Richmond, so they just got over the line. The game between Essendon and North Melbourne, very similar to the AFL game. The only difference is that North Melbourne got home by 11 points, 12-8-80 to 10-9-69 Essendon. And then we had the Northern Bulldogs Collingwood game out of Preston, and the game that Paul Amy wants the two teams to play for the Rayshaw Cup, and who could dispute that? That would probably actually be the right person to name a trophy.
Yep, let's do it. Let's lock that in. Yep. Let's lock that in, Lashie. We'll
support Paul on that one.
100% be behind that. So if the club don't do that. Yeah. I mean, we'd love to do it even as VFL Rewind,
The Rayshaw Cup and produce the cup,
If the club don't do that, we'd love to do that, Lashie. I'm sure we could source the cup and do that in honor of Rayshaw. The more cups, the better, as I always say.
The thing is, Wag likes cups. He's also going for the Canteen of the Year award, providing he introduces the Preston Pie Floater in the next few weeks.
Now, so I've got a few observations from this day at Preston City Oval. The raffle, Lashie. There's a raffle, right?
Yep.
Stephen Papel is one of the most loyalist Carlton men and loyalist Northern Bulldogs.
You want a Collingwood jumper?
You want a Collingwood football jumper. What is Papes going to do with a Collingwood football jumper?
I'll tell you what. Toilet paper?
I don't know. But
I'll tell you what, he's probably going to wash his car with it.
I reckon he might.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's going to do with it, but I had to have a bit of a chuckle at that when I seen that, the raffle results, and Papes, absolute ripper of I do want to, while we're on the topic of trophies, Lashie, I do want to mention we're going to implement, we're the king of trophies here on VFR Rewind, and we're going to implement a new trophy this year, Lashie. So that will take us to three trophies we got. And this one we've got to work out the fine tuning of the naming, but it's going to be Volunteer of the Year.
Yep.
From our, and we're going to do some votes, but we're going to name it after a few great volunteers. So we'll put up a post maybe on our VFR Rewind Facebook page during the week, and maybe some suggestions of loyal listeners who they think it should be named after. Maybe
Crocker.
Crocker, the
Crocker Robinson Cup, or medallion, a medallion maybe, or something like that.
Pug from Port Melbourne's one up there. Alan Pug. Grumpy Walsh,
Bruce Bowles from Sandringham,
Brucey Bowles, people like that. People that we know. If you walk into a VFL club,
the Colonel down at Box Hill,
exactly. People like that. So if you got any suggestions, send us through to our Facebook page. We'll put up a post during the week. We want to congratulate the volunteers for their loyal work, and we'll have a trophy for them. We'll probably get them on maybe our grand final show and have a bit of a chat and get them to share some funny stories. So we'll do that in the next few weeks. We'll have that one out.
I'll finish off the final score for this game.
Go for it, Lausche.
16-19, 1-15 to 9-10, 64 the Northern Bulldogs, and the teams that had the bye, Brisbane, Sydney and the Sandringham Football Club.
Now, next bit of business for tonight, Lausche. I haven't given you much notice on this one, so I respect if you want to give it another week, but we thanks the Piranha Snacks, our player of the month. We've got to do. I'm happy to open the batting, or
open the batting, mate.
All right, mate. I'll open the batting. Yeah. Okay, so this is what I've landed at. I've spent a lot of. I've been moving the magnets, as we'd say, Lausche. Yeah, this one. I've been moving the magnets.
Do that on the weekends.
And it was hard to fit this one in. I'll tell you, I've given one vote to Jacob Dawson. He probably was stiff last week to not get last month to not get a vote.
Yep.
I give him my two to Tommy Gribble.
Yep.
Love the Tommy Gribble. He's been he's back in his best form.
Yep.
Three, Dom Brew. Three votes. He's normally a man who's known for his tackling, but he's really lifted his disposal numbers in the past few weeks, Dommy Brew. And I'll go through them. Just give me 1 second. So he had 11 tackles on the weekend. He had 32 to go with it. The week before he had 29 and he had 7 tackles. The week before he had 33 and 5 tackles. The week before that he had 27 and 11 tackles.
Okay, can you give me Gribble's disposals for the last four?
Tommy Gribble for the last
39 in last week.
Last 4 weeks, Tommy Gribble has been in good form as well. So on the weekend, Tommy Gribble had 39.
Yep.
The week before he had 36. The week before that he had 41. The week before that he had 31.
Okay. And what the other thing Tommy Gribble's got going for him, he has never been told how to pronounce the nickname and has got it right every time he's chatted to me. So I'm going to give it to Tommy Gribble.
So you're going to give it to Tommy Gribble. So he's got the three. Who's your two?
I'll give it to Dommy Brew.
So we've got a tie. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, and you won? Just for...
I actually reckon Crosley hasn't been too bad for Southport.
He was good against Box Hill. So, there we go. So, we've got a tie. We're going to have to catch up with Dommy Brew and Tommy Gribble at some point and cut the prize in half. They'll get half a chips each.
Yeah.
So, we thanks the Piranha Snacks. We really appreciate that for their support. They're the winner of the Play of the Month. So,
Werribee boy, Stoney will be happy when we interview him.
Stoney will be up and about. So, we'll have to get down to Werribee and catch up with them two boys. Tommy Gribble's won it last year as well. So
Outright now, he shares it with his best mate. He
shares the spoil. So, congratulations to those two boys. Yep. Any observations from the week on in the VFL, Lausche? Any quirky stuff you've heard or any anything going on that around the traps that you...
Nah, not really. It's just been a relatively quiet week, sort of just going through the motions right now, as you do in the middle of the year. So, yourself?
We're starting to see the whips starting to crack now. We're starting to see the movers and shakers move up the ladder. Yeah. We're from all the way from Footscray all the way to Coburg, all teams are on 3 wins. So, the gap looks like it's getting wider now. So, almost all the way down to probably Frankston is probably the last ones that could probably make the top 10. So, it's going to be interesting what happens from here. But just on the halfway point of the year. So I think that from here on in, the teams that aren't in the 10 who should probably make it, Collingwood, I think Geelong's a chance as well. And I reckon, reckon that Sandy might be a smoky as well if they can get their injury list on top of. So it will be interesting, but it's going to be tough.
I'll tell you what, you're very, very generous. I've already ruled out anyone with less than... 4 wins there, I reckon. It's Port Melbourne upwards.
That's a fair point. It's gonna be tough. I mean, some of the teams have played 10, some of them only played 9.
Yeah.
So that will go in consideration as well. But Yeah, I think that Southport, if you had to pick one team out of that ten, Southport's the one that slots back in at some point. They'll definitely make 10. Canine ratings, we haven't had much to see. Last year was at Box Hill on the weekend. How did the old line go? Was it 10 metres along this week, or was it?
It wasn't too bad, but unfortunately, we in the commentary box just don't have time at the breaks to go when the big crowds are there. So it's usually one of us jumps out for about 2 or 3 minutes.
Gets a couple of 4 and 20 pies.
Yeah, a couple of 4 and 20 pies or sausage rolls and drinks and all that sort of stuff whilst there's no crowd there. So the variety's not too bad.
They won't be winning the trophy. They'll be winning the trophy.
No. I think, as I said, Wags sort of from Preston or Northern Boys.
And we're going to get a report. We're going to get a report this week from Southport. So we've got some loyal Port Melbourne fans up in Southport, and they're going to let us know what their canteen's like. So they could be the one. They could be the mover and shaker from this year.
Well, last year, you know, it cost Southport, and I know Southport people are listening.
The scallop.
The potato scallop. Now, listen. You don't find potatoes in the sea. Scallops are a fish.
Correct.
So they are potato cakes, and it's Parmigiana, not Parmy.
Correct. So that's going to lose them points. Yeah, they've got to fix that someone.
Yeah, some of the terminology needs to be changed. And I know Steve Daniel will get onto that.
He probably will. They want that trophy up there.
Oh, exactly. You need something to get in the cabinet.
Their big casino, Southport. Imagine walking in and seeing the big canteen trophy of the year in their big casino up there.
Imagine seeing the big trophy in the tank with the shark.
There is a shark up there. They've got the big fish tank, haven't they, as you walk in the place. It's like walking in the Crown going to Southport. So it's a bit of a... Very good establishment.
We'll do the VFLW probably around 7:30 or
7:45. Yeah, we'll do the VFL a little bit later on. We're going to go to a break now. I'm going to be back with Jenny Luffin, who's from the AFL. Looking forward to chatting all things scheduling, finals, whatever Jenny wants to talk about. We're looking forward to chatting to Jenny about. You're listening to VFL Rewind here on 94.1 FM at 3WBC.
Celebrate footy season with your favourite 4 and 20. Grab one hot in your local convenience store pie warmer or supermarket freezer aisle today.
Oh, what a lovely pie, me mates, a 4 and 20 pie. Hurry!
4 and 20 are a 3WBC sponsor.
Dragon City Tattoos at 893 Canterbury Road, Box Hill is a place for your next artwork. Clint and Luke Baxter will design and tattoo your ideas with precision and skill. They are award-winning and passionate about what they do. Traditional, realism, tribal, portrait, religious, Asian, logos, or just the black work. Dragon City Tattoos are experienced in all styles. They also offer body piercing. Open 7 days a week. Drop in and talk about your next tat, or give Dragon City Tattoos a call on 9890 2734, or search Dragon City Tattoos on Facebook.
A proud sponsor of 3WBC Football and 94.1 FM 3WBC.
And welcome back to VFL Rewind here on 94.1 FM at 3WBC. We're appointing our first special guest of the evening and really looking forward to chatting to Jenny. Jenny Luffin is the head of state leagues at the AFL, and she joins us on the line now. Jenny, welcome to VFL Rewind, and thanks for joining us. And welcome to our show for the second time. I think you were on last year as well, so thanks for joining us.
I was. Thanks, Brad. Great to be back and chatting to you guys.
G'day, Jenny. Lausche speaking.
How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Yourself?
Yeah, very well, thank you.
How have you seen the VFL season so far, 2023? Has there been any surprises for you with teams or players or things that you didn't expect to happen?
Yeah, look, we've been really rapt with the season so far, and I think there's always a piece of all of us that loves to see the standalone clubs have some success. And we've currently got Werribee sitting in fourth, Williamstown in sixth, and even imported thereabouts in 14, and even as far as 17 can still stay in touch with the wildcard round. So we've been really, really delighted. We've had some close games. Yes, we've had blowouts, but there've been some really exciting games. You know, there's even on the weekend, Frankston just missed out to Carlton. Kicking it. We've had a really good season.
Now, in about 3 to 4 weeks' time, a bloke called Ben Jolly will break the VFL games record. Will AFL Victoria do anything for that day as well on top of his club, Williamstown?
Yeah, look, we're really excited about that as well. Obviously, Ben will play his 300 this weekend. Williamstown are playing the Bullants at Williamstown on Saturday at 2:05. So if your listeners are around, and get down and support him in that. And then, obviously, Bill Swan holds the record at the moment, and Fred Cook, I think, sits on 300 as well. So another three games, and he will have broken it, which is super exciting, particularly in this day and age when just the longevity of players probably isn't the same as it perhaps once was, particularly in the state league. So we're excited about that. We'll certainly be really pumping that up because there's a lot to celebrate. It's an enormous milestone for Ben Jolly and for our... and for the competition as a whole.
You're exactly right, Jenny. It's a 150-year-old league, and it's first time it's going to be broken in, 30-odd years. So it's one to celebrate.
It's amazing. Yep. You know, the legends of the game, like the Bill Swans and the Fred Cooks, I mean, it's a long time since they've played. So to have a current-day player right on the cusp of taking over the record is super exciting.
You're exactly right, Jen. It's a breath of fresh air for the competition to it's a testament to all the younger kids to keep playing. You know, Ben Jolly's a good example. He's 37, but he's professional as anyone. One question I've got for you, Jenny. As we knew last year, people were getting a bit frustrated with the league and that. And I think congratulations to the VFL in bringing in the wild card round. How's that been met by the clubs and supporters? I think that, as you mentioned it, all the way down to 17th, they're still in that finals hunt, where last year it might have been a different story this time last year because of the eight. So that two extra spots, I guess, has given people a bit more hope. How's that all been received by the clubs? And I guess it's a trial and error to see how it goes this year, or is it something that you reckon will probably be around for a while?
Well, we think the clubs have certainly been supportive of it, and we've had a lot of public support and interest as well. When we first announced it, there was a lot of media attention on it because straight away it's like, well, does that mean they're going to bring it into the AFL? And the answer is no to that. We're a separate competition. We've got 21 clubs in our competition, which means that just after the midway point, if clubs have had a bad start to the season, it becomes quite difficult to claw their way back and stay in touch with the top eight, which means motivation for players, supporters, etc., can be challenging. So with 21 teams, we thought it was appropriate to introduce the wildcard round, which means that the teams that finish in positions 1 to 6 at the end of the home and away season, they'll have a week off and then they'll go into the finals the week after. The teams that sit 7 to 10 will then play off for that 7th and 8th position in finals. So 7 will play 10 and 8 will play 9, which means that, clubs can just keep fighting to hang on, get up to that 10th position, and once you get there, you just never know what happens.
Exactly right. We were just talking before we had you on air that Southport are probably one that might sneak into that 10 because, and you never know what they could do. They're obviously grand finalists from last year. One more I had for you, Jenny. You're probably sitting with me like we all were a few weeks ago, one of the greatest days in the AFL's history. Gil down at North Hobart Oval announcing that Tasmanian is going to join the AFL team, and we weren't expecting to hear the words VFL in his presser, but we did. And he mentioned that Tasmania look like they're going to be joining the VFL in 2025. Have you got any update for us about that? Has there been the wheels started to turn on that one, or is it something that I guess will probably start to happen next year?
Yeah, we haven't had any further update on that at the moment, but it is an exciting prospect, and it's certainly something I think we'll all look forward to welcoming a Tassie team in, but at this stage we don't have any further details on that. Obviously, as yourselves and your listeners would remember, the Suns and the Giants played games in the VFL ahead of their launch into the AFL, so I'd imagine it'd be a similar pathway. So we'll just have to stand by on that one and see where it goes, but our big competition that runs across all of the East Coast, Queensland, New South Wales, Victoria, it would be exciting to also spread down into Tassie as well.
Just to expand on that, Jenny, does the inclusion also involve a VFLW team from Tasmania if you're going to bring in a VFL side in 2025?
I would imagine it will as well, yes, because they'll need to have a bit of a launch pad to build their club. So we would certainly be, you know, welcome them in. What sort of format it looks like, I don't know at this stage, but we'll look forward to that. It'll certainly be exciting times.
Now, we're sort of at the halfway mark. Probably, maybe this question might be for 3 or 4 weeks, a little bit early, but finals venues for 2023, have you started planning for them, and can you give us any idea where you guys might be looking, and if there's any venues that might be doing first up appearances at VFL finals?
So that's a really good question, and yes, we're looking at that. We've sort of turned our attention to that specifically over the last couple of weeks. As you'd understand, it can be a bit like a Rubik's Cube in terms of where you play finals. You've got clubs from three different states. You've got AFL teams playing at similar times. You've got a certain restricted access to some venues with other finals and things like that. So we're just working through that at the moment. We need to have that balance between fairness. So we've tried to accommodate the highest finishing team to host the final. Now, that in itself can sort of pose certain challenges, which I'm sure you guys understand, knowing the different venues and what facilities some have compared to what others don't have. So we've got to balance all of that versus what's the best for the game and the spectators as well. So we'd sort of hope to have that finalised in the next couple of weeks and be able to get that out. So I'm sure we can make sure we get that info to you once that's been nailed away.
Yeah, it'll be great to hear what's going on there. I've got a bit of an idea, Jen, and I just want to throw it out there because I just want to get it off my chest. And I'm passionate. I've always had this idea since we've brought in the public holiday for Victoria. I've always felt that the grand final eve would be a fantastic time to host the VFL grand final, simply because you've got so many fans who come into the city now that, you know, if you had it start at, say, 3 or 4 o'clock after the grand final parade's done, you know, I reckon you'd get some good traction. So I just want to put that out there. But, it's always good. I think the grand final last year being back at Icon Park, the weather killed it. But I think people did appreciate, especially 2019, being back at Icon Park because there was a big crowd for the Williamstown-Richmond game there. So I think big tick, well done to the VFL for, moving it back to the burbs, I guess you'd call it.
Yeah, look, we thought it went really well last year. Obviously, the rain hurt us a fair bit, but we had a really good crowd considering we had Southport, who don't have a lot of supporters in Victoria, which is understandable. And then we had, Casey with Melbourne, so still in finals and things like that. So we were really wrapped with that. I get your point, and I think it's a really valid one. The challenge we've got, obviously, is AFLW were playing on that day as well.
Oh, of course,
just trying not to swamp the market. The great thing with that Sunday is there's no AFL on that day. And then, obviously, there are AFLW games, but not as many as they sort of had last year on that public holiday. So we can own a lot of that day, which is great for our supporters.
Yeah, no, it's a very good point. Yeah, sorry, I've totally forgot about the AFL. You're exactly right. AFL should never question the AFL. They're always on the ball.
No, feel free to question because there's always ideas out there we haven't thought of. So,
Now, Jenny, I'm going to ask you, this is my final question before we finish up. I don't know if Brad's got another one, but who's your tip for the premiership of the VFL this year and the VFLW and your best and fairest in both the leagues?
Oh, gee, that's danger ground, I reckon, isn't it, going down there?
should we done what Mark Robinson does and when he has Gil on AFL 360 and ask him about food instead? Should we ask you what your favourite canteen is, Jen?
Yeah, you can answer that instead if you want.
Favourite canteen? Oh, I don't mind. Actually, I had some good chips at the Northern Bulland.
Oh, yes.
On the weekend.
Very good, yeah.
Actually, I was out at the Bullants yesterday for their game against Collingwood, and they did a magnificent job. They had a charity partner in the Children's Hospital, and they had a big fundraiser for the Children's Hospital out there. So all credit to the Bullants and the work they did out there. But, I reckon I'd love to see, potentially a Werribee Williamstown Grand Final.
How good would that be? Oh, imagine
how
that.
How good would that be?
Yeah.
They're sitting 4 and 6 at the moment, so...
That'd be absolutely fantastic. Final one from me, Jenny. Mm-hmm. This year, or last year, or no, probably this time last year, to be honest, Sammy Zito arrived at the AFL, and geez, hasn't he had an impact? He's done an absolutely phenomenal job. Can you update us a little bit about the streaming numbers and the content? Because I've noticed in the last 12 months, the content coming out of the VFL on social media has been absolutely phenomenal. Has anyone mentioned it to you? Because I think it's been phenomenal this year.
Yeah, look, Ken, you're 100% right there. Sammy Zito is an absolute gun. We are just so lucky to have landed him. His passion for the competition is unrivaled, and he's just a real, he's gung-ho, and he just wants the best. So we're very lucky to have Sammy Zito, and a lot of the social media stuff, all the promotional stuff, a lot of that comes back to Sammy and the work he's done. But our streaming numbers continue to trend upwards. I think as word spreads and people realise how easy it is to access all the games online, because you can watch every single game, both VFL and VFLW, live on the VFL app or the website, and it's good quality vision. So, each year we get more and more people sort of plug into that. Obviously, we still want people to get along to the games, but there's nothing to say can't go to the game and also have the app on as well, and just rewind and see what's watch a replay on your own app on your hand. So we're really happy with where that is.
Yeah, you're doing a fantastic job media-wise. I think the past 12 months has really, really come good. And, yeah, thank you very much for joining us tonight and letting us know a little bit what's going on in the AFL. Doing a good job this year, I think. A lot of little things that are really helping the competition get from strength to strength. And, yeah, thanks very much for joining us. And, yeah, enjoy the back end of the year. Hopefully we can have some good games.
Thanks, Shee.
Absolute pleasure. And thanks to both of you and your crew, because you do an amazing job for the State League as well. And I'm sure all the listeners out there are very grateful for what you do. So thanks for that, and you guys enjoy the remainder of the season as well.
Thanks for the kind words, Jenny, there. Jenny Luffin from the AFL, really appreciate giving up some time. If anyone from the AFL, I'm super grateful. So, yeah, appreciate that Jenny could join us tonight.
It was great that Jenny joined us today, but I totally agree with her about Sammy Zito. What I like about Sammy is he always keeps you well informed. If you're waiting for something...
He's a good man.
He will always write
you. You know what it is with
Sammy? There might be a delay.
Yep. He's a good man. The thing I like about Sammy is that he's come from the local league, so he knows he's a people's person. He's a very good, very good people's person. Yeah. He puts some really good content out there, and I think people appreciate the improvement of the media this year.
I don't think the rise has actually got to his head as well.
No, he's a good man. He's a very humble man. Yeah, he was at the Northern Footy League for a number of years, and
that's a good quality football league as well. Martin Stillman's there.
Yeah,
these
correct.
Days,
another VFL person who did a good job. So I mean, that's the thing. You get good people into good organisations, and things turn around. Since COVID, things did drop off with the media, and I think it's improved tenfold. So well done to Jen for coming on the show tonight. We really appreciate it. And give us an insight. We're going to take this into consideration when we do our canteen trophy, though. Jenny reckons that the chips at Northern are good. So
we'll test them.
They might be the smoky now.
Yeah, but the thing is, if Wag brings the pie floater in and the chips are good, They're nearly home.
They're leading by length of Flemington Strait, if that's the case.
See, Wag just has to bring the pie floater in and she's all over, really.
Yep.
We've got a legend next up, he's like a BG, isn't he? A Barry Gibb type.
I love Stoney. He's a good man.
Staying alive.
Every time we get someone on as well, it always comes back to Stoney. They got a link. We had Mick Barlow on last week, and Stoney was the one that recruited him. We had someone else on a few years ago, maybe early in the year.
He's a good man. I reckon we could have the US President Joe Biden on, and he'd have a link to Stoney.
We're going to go to a break now. I'm going to be back with Mark Stone, recruiter of Werribee Football Club, but also a good man and knows his VFL inside out. You're listening to VFL Rewind here on 94.1 FM, 3WBC.
Celebrate footy season with your favourite 4 and 20. Grab one hot in your local convenience store pie warmer or supermarket freezer aisle today.
Oh, what a lovely pie, me mates, a 4 and 20 pie. Oi!
4 and 20 are a 3WBC.
What a magnificent game this has been here today at the home of football, the MCG, and the Tigers go forward again to try and get the knockout punch. Punt road in, left half forward, Cochin, wonderful pickup here, pass to Martin. Dusty's 30 metres out, over the top to rerun for a goal. And the Tigers are racing away with this game.
Thanks, Rex. So when the final siren sounds, how would you like to be celebrated? Find out more at turbinbrothers.com.au. Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives.
Tobin Brothers Funerals are a 3WBC sponsor.
And welcome back to VFL Rewind here on 94.1 FM 3WBC with Point of Our Sessions' second special guest on the line. And this man's a ripper. We always get him on once or twice a year to have a bit of a chat about the state of play in the VFL, how he sees it. Yeah. This man reads it better than most. He's recruited a few diamonds out of the rough. I think he might have had his hand in who just won the Piranha Player of the Month in Dommy Brew. So,
but both, I reckon he would have had his hand in.
Probably did. So, and he joins on the line now, recruiter of the Werribee Football Club, but also knows his VFL. Also, obviously, former commentator of VFL level, commentated for VFL footy, obviously been on SCN as well for a number of years. And he joins on the line now, Mark Stone. Stoney, welcome to VFL Rewind. Thanks for joining us, mate.
Yeah, Brad Lashy, it's always great to join and talk about VFL footy. It's a really interesting year this year. I'm quite excited about some of the teams that have done quite well this year or doing well, and I reckon every side in the comp has got a bit of some form and have shown a bit over the last sort of last 6 months. So it's a really good competition and pretty exciting this time of year.
Now, Stoney, a lot of people don't know this, but you're the lost Leyland brother this year. You've done a lot of travelling around the countryside. Where have you been to some of the more unique areas of Australia or Victoria to watch footy and possibly find the next star of the Werribee Football Club?
Actually, I've got a trip to Tasmania coming up in July, so I'm actually going to be down there for some footy down there. I think Tassie play Queensland on July 1, so I'm going to have a look at that game. I've been up in Albury. I went up to see Ovens and Murray play the Golden Valley a few weeks ago. I've got a Hamilton trip planned for the Warrnambool region in a month or so's time. I'll go and see the Golden Valley in September. But I'm actually keeping a pretty close eye on Geelong footy league too. So I've been doing a few miles in the last 3 or 4 weeks just trying to find, as you said, the diamonds in the rough, gentlemen. And there's plenty out there, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Now, Stoney, I'm always fascinated with your love of, I guess, the Ovens and Murray and the Goulburn. You've always plucked some absolute rippers out of there that people probably didn't have a clue who they were. Do you reckon that's probably the best league in Victoria, or one of the maybe top two or three? Because we went out there last year and watched the grand final, and I was blown away at the standard. I thought it was pretty good.
This year, it was about a couple of weeks ago when the Ovens and Murray played at the Albury Sports Ground against the Golden Valley. It was one of the best, if not the best, interleague game I've seen. And I was talking to someone a few weeks ago about Geelong Footy League not playing interleague footy anymore. I think it's really important for me that comes back in some capacity once a year, that we have, Ballarat play Bendigo, Geelong play Hamden. Because the Golden Valley and Ovens and Murray was a spectacular game. We've seen some really good players on both sides, but the game was won in the last 1 minute because Golden Valley hit the lead in the last quarter, and I thought they were going to get the chocolates, but Golden Valley, actually the Ovens and Murray, kicked 4 goals in 3 minutes to win the game. It was a great game of footy, and for the people, and it's really interesting about that because the crowd wasn't there, wasn't really much crowd there, but it was a great stand of footy, and it was a bit of a dull day, so really I can suppose why people didn't go along, but it was a great game of footy and some really good players for the future. So it's about opportunity, players want to move to Melbourne, school, work, whether you can accommodate this demographic. So there's a lot of factors why people come or why they want to try and play VFL footy, Jim.
Now, Stoney, we were just talking about, work, school, accommodation, et cetera, et cetera. How hard is it to actually lure a player to come down and play for Werribee? Because I've said this to local clubs that are interested in bringing down Northern Territory girls for their women's competitions. But I've always said, let's get the off-field stuff right first before we actually bring them down, because it's no use bringing players down and not having anything there for them in place, because it's the easiest way they get homesick.
Yeah, good question, Lash. I think that for me it's about, first of all, identify the player. And does the player want to come to Melbourne? Even if they come from Tasmania, same thing, right? It's going to be a bit hard because how are you going to go and see? But, would they want to go to school? What do they study? Do they have any relatives in Melbourne? Do you have any mates that play in the team? It's got to be the right time. It's got to be enticing for the player. Their family's got to be involved. There's a lot of factors in a player wanting to come to go anywhere, go in the state, come to Melbourne. because they want to improve their footy and play the best footy they can. I think it's about timing. It's all about timing because I've, at the moment, without naming names, I've got, I reckon, 25 players that I've got on my books that I'm looking at the moment, and it'll be about where they want to come, whether they're ready to come, what's going to entice them to Melbourne, Werribee, blah, 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 all those sort of things.
You're exactly right, Stone. Remember, I won't mention names, but I sent you a text last year about a player that I'd heard some good things about, and you'd already heard that name, and the whole result was they didn't want to come. So, I mean, that's the thing. You can find some absolute rippers, but if they don't want to come, I guess that's half your battle, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that the thing for, I think you're already in everybody in the VFL and in recruiting anywhere knows you've got to have 100 names to get 10. Yeah. And you've got to get angles, and different angles will get the player to the club. Like I said, you get 100 players, you get 10 of them, you get one of them, you get five of them. It's about, and again, it comes back to what type of player, what type of position they play in, where they're going to play at VFL level, can they play AFL? Do they have harbour ambitions to play AFL? So there's a lot of factors that go into it, and it's a bit of science going on now too, which is about speed and how quick they can run, hit goals. You know, there's all that coming to play now.
Stoney's got the stopwatch out now. When he goes down to a game, he's got the stopwatch around his neck like he counts out. Nah, man, Stoney. one question that I'd love to know, and obviously you're a recruiter and you chase hard and you try and get your best players, but can you tell us a bloke that you've probably moved heaven and earth to try and get and he didn't come, and you reckon he might have been a 150 game player if he had made the move? Is there anyone you can think off the top of your head that you probably battled, tried really hard over the years to try and get, but just wouldn't come?
There's many of those. There's a kid up in Albury called Michael Duncan. He plays the Albury Tigers, and Mick, because of family reasons, he was, been a pretty good player for the Albury Tigers, but been up there a long time. Ryan Normington was another guy that spent some time with us up at Lukey Garland, again from Ovens and Murray. There's a lot of players that come for 1 year and stay 1 year. JB Harper, who's at South Launceston, he's at North Launceston now, the captain actually. He spent 1 year with us, and it took me a long time to get JB over here to the mainland. But, there's so many of those stories. But I suppose Michael Duncan was the one from Albury, because I tried Mick for a long time, and because of timing and because of what last school and because of work, because of family. And, they got reasons why they won't come. And, they're fair enough reasons. They're good country footballers or good interstate footballers. And, it's just, again, it comes down, you just got to put the hook out there, put the line out there, see if you can grab them on the hook and see if they want to come, and then the rest is luck of the draw. I've had a pretty good go of it, but I'll tell you what, it doesn't just happen, you've got to work hard, let me tell you.
Now, throughout this year, Stoney, what are some of the things that have surprised you, some of the teams, some of the players? Who do you really believe AFL clubs should look at across the VFL lists? Give us a few names. we'll limit this answer to 90 seconds.
All right. So just looking at that, I looked at the ladder today too, just knowing that I was going to come on, right? Yeah. And you look at the top eight, right? Brisbane, Gold Coast, Box Hill, Werribee, Casey, Williamstown, right? So, Brisbane, Gold Coast had 9 wins. Box Hill, Werribee, Casey, Willie, I had 7 wins, right?
Yep.
North Melbourne and Giants, 7th, 8th, have 6 wins.
Yep.
Outside the top 8, we've got Richmond on 5, and Carlton on 5 also. Yep. So, they're in 10th position. So, we've had Geelong, Southport, who obviously got a few injury issues. Collingwood, Port Melbourne with 4 wins. So, I thought Port Melbourne would be a lot better than they have been this year. They've won 4 games, but you look down the bottom, 15, 16, 17.
Swans,
Footscray, Sandy and Frankston. Yeah. Now, Frankston have a couple of boys, and Robbo would probably listen to this, right? So, they've got some good players. We've got Minot.
Yeah.
We've got Owen, Stoddard and Boss, right? So, those boys there, just off the cuff could, the mid-season draft, we've seen a few, I was a bit disappointed, a few of the Werribee boys didn't get picked up because, there's a few in Werribee's lineup. There's probably 5, 7, 10 players, I think, in the Werribee team that could play in AFL. So we've got a lot of players out there.
Mm-hmm.
McLaughlin from Gold Coast, he's been already on there. you know, who else we got? Lukey Sullivan. Mm. Now, Lukey Sullivan's a really good player at VFL level. Mm. Should be playing AFL footy, I reckon. No doubt about that. You know, the Southport side, you know, you got Foon, Jack Foon.
Yep.
He's from Tasmania.
Yep.
I tried to get him over to Melbourne. He ended up in the Gold Coast. So how does that work?
Well, warmer weather, I reckon. Warmer weather.
Jay Foon, in fact, that's his name.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's that, you know, Marty Horse should be playing AFL footy.
Yeah.
100%.
By the way, also, Ben Jolly, well done. I think it's this week he plays his
300th game. So equals with Fred Cook.
Yeah, and so two others from Willie I really have liked over the last few years. Joel Otavi. Evans is a good player.
Yep.
You know, Shawnee Manners should be playing AFL. I've always said Matty Hansen should play AFL.
Yep.
I mean, Jack Henderson's a good player. Louis Pinnick. There's so many players that you go, I went through every list. There's so many players. You know, Naismith can be picked up. You know, like Ethan Phillips should be playing AFL footy. I mean, so many players in the VFL.
Yeah, I think Naismith, his age and the injury history probably went against him there.
Yeah, Ethan Phillips, like, he should be playing AFL footy. Like, he's totally a good player. Agree. He's a good player. Like, it's... So, you and I, and we could chat for an hour on players we think should be on an AFL list, and it's against the luck of the draw because you've got state league footy all around Australia. So, there's so many of them out there.
Well, Stoney, we really appreciate you joining us tonight giving us a bit of an insight of how your little trips are going. Always good to hear. You're looking outside the square, which I think is always fantastic because, some of the players you brought have turned into being absolute rippers. And, hope to catch up in a few weeks, mate, at some point. But until then, thanks very much for joining us. And, good luck with your little trips.
Thanks, Stoney.
Always happy we can chat about our recruiting trips down the track. Cheers, boys.
Sounds good. Mark Stone, the absolute ripper, absolute gentleman too. Great to see he's doing well. And, looking outside the square instead of looking a TAC cut, which I think is always good.
Well, the good thing about Stoney was getting updated by Robbo with WA schools like we all were this afternoon. So we're really in the picture right now with Robbo helping producing.
We sure are. We'll always thank the great man, Michael Robinson. Now, we're going to go to break now. I'm going to be back after the break with absolute, I'll call him the godfather of Frank's the Mateys. He's done everything down there. Absolute ripper. Absolute gentleman too. So looking forward to chatting to him and Brian Mace. You're listening to VFL Rewind here on 94.1 FM, 3WBC.
Celebrate footy season with your favourite 4 and 20. Grab one hot in your local convenience store pie warmer or supermarket freezer aisle today.
Oh, what a lovely pie, me mates, a 4 and 20 pie. Hurry!
4 and 20 are a 3WBC sponsor.
And welcome back to VFL Rewind here on 94.1 FM at 3WBC. I can't wait for this one, Laoshi. Absolute gentleman, absolute ripper. There's not many people in the VFL who have a grandstand named after them.
Yeah.
And actually, if you want to be technical, Laoshi, he's had two grandstands named after him because the first one burnt down.
Yeah.
So he's had two grandstands named after himself.
Yeah.
He stepped into the Frankston Football Club when it was much needed. I'm not sure we'll have to speak when he actually stepped in as CEO, but he was there for a very long time, did an absolute sterling job with the football club. He was also there as an administrator, as a coach, I believe, as well. So we'll chat to him a little bit about that as well. And he joins us on the line now, Brian Mace, absolute legend of Frankston Football Club. Brian, welcome to VFL Rewind. It's a pleasure to have you and thanks for joining us.
Yeah, well, thanks, gentlemen. And it's nice to call me a gentleman too. That hasn't always happened when around football circle. Anyhow. What I've done, I've locked myself in my bedroom to keep my daughter's dog away because he's been dying to get in here and see what the hell's going on. You ask the questions and I'll answer them, boys.
Yeah, g'day, Brian. Laoshi speaking. Now, tell us, how did your association start with the Frankston Football Club all those years back?
Oh, dear Godfather. I first went there in 1948. As a young bloke to play in one of the junior teams, like all young fellas do that love their footy. In 1950, I actually signed on at the club with the, would have been the under-17s or under-18s. Had my first full game in 1954 with our senior coach being a bloke by the name of Jack Sales from Collingwood. 1957, we had Jack Hamilton as a coach with our senior team. Jack, as you would remember, was the boss of the VFL or AFL, it was then. That was in 1958. We played two grand finals, 57, 58, in a little club right down the back of the peninsula with a population of about 400, Crib Point. Beat Frankston, it would have had a population of 35 or 40,000. They beat us by a couple of points in two grand finals in a row. So that was my introduction into it all. I was playing full back as a 5'11" guy, punch it, run like buggering, kick it as far as I could. And that was it. I joined the police force when my eldest son came along, Robert, when I was 23. So that was the end of my really good footy days. Excuse me, I went and played at Somerville because I couldn't train at Frankston and got called back to Frankston in 1975 to coach the reserves, to a flag. Took a 12 months off to build my house down on the waterfront and got called back the next year to coach the senior team in 78, and we won the flag in 1978 in second division. So that was me starting off, boys.
Now, you must be absolutely rapt where the club is these days. It's one of the premier, especially the facilities that club's got right now. It's one of the premier grounds on the Mornington Peninsula. And now with the light towers, you don't have to compete with the Mornington Peninsula games on a Saturday afternoon either. You can play them on Friday nights or Saturday nights.
Oh, look, it's been terrific. And I think the thing that I really appreciate, myself and a fantastic committee worked from about 2000 onwards to get new rooms built, and when the grandstand burnt down, we a little bit of conflict for a while about having it redone along similar lines so that it copied the, you know, what the people of Frankston wanted, because that stand had been left over from big scout jamboree, you know, 40 or 50 years ago. So we got, well, longer than that, 70 years ago. So we got all that done. And then we concentrated on getting the new rooms built. So that all happened, and at that time when I gave it away when I was 78. But to talk about a manager, like people, they call themselves managers, all our clubs, you manage everything. You manage the pot of paint to paint the ground with. You manage the goalpost paddings. You manage the people. You manage the footballers. You manage the salaries. So when you're a manager, you're really the jack of all trades, and you just work hard to keep your volunteers. And I'm glad to see there's a lot of recognition being pulled into our volunteers now, because without volunteers, your clubs would just fall apart. So the main thing I wanted to stress, and particularly now that we're on air, how great our council have been in the last few years, in particular with helping their club when we ran into financial strife, and seeing that it's put on a good firm footing with a good club manager in Adrian Lloyd there now. And we've got the lights, we're getting 2,000 or 3,000 people to the night games, and it's been absolutely fantastic on our beautiful venue, boys.
It's been phenomenal, the turnaround from the Frankston Football Club, in terms of, yeah, the lights have opened up the doors to so many possibilities in terms of the, it was almost like flicking a switch in terms of the crowds. They changed dramatically. I want to step back a little bit, Brian. As an administrator, when did you first take the role as, I guess, what you call general manager or CEO these days, a fancy term? When did you first start that role? And, yeah, I noticed you mentioned you went till 78. It's a phenomenal effort.
Well, Adrian Lloyd, that you'd be familiar with, Adrian or Rocky, he and I were, he's the present manager. You're familiar with that?
Yep, Rocky, yeah, good man.
Yeah, you'd know Rocky. Well, he and I were together right back in 77, 78, and he started managing the club when we won our flag in 78. So he and I are good mates, and I work with Adrian, being a policeman. That's another story altogether. But when I was coaching and on the club as an administrator with Adrian, I was also the local copper in charge of what they called the crime car squad that covered all the peninsula with 30 or 40 guys in it. So it was a really interesting period, being only 100 metres away from the police station when I was coaching the footy club, and the three pubs were 100 metres the other way. So there was a lot of funny stories I could go on about for hours, fellas, but it all worked out pretty well. I think the players all respected me, and they didn't have much choice, mind you. And Adrian stopped with me, or I stopped with him, until 1994. Adrian left and went on to his very successful career path as a sponsor with Carlton and other sporting clubs, and then came to act back to our club here only, what, 3 years ago, and he's done a ripper job and worked in very well with the councillors and everybody else around in the local club. So I've always been there either as the football manager, while Adrian was the club manager. He was a good money raiser, so I had a lot to do with just running the football side of it. And when Adrian left, I was sort of the man behind the scenes running it, I guess is the best way to put it. And I didn't retire until I was 78, and I'm, what am I now? I'm 87, I'm heading for 88 now. So one thing I might add to that, once I get talking, it's hard to stop me. When I was a young bloke and first came to the club, I used to look at the guys running the club and I thought, what are all these old geezers all hanging around the club for? And as the years have gone by, I've realised that I'd done my calculations, they would have only been 40 or 45. So what the players have thought of me when I got to 78, God only knows, boys.
Now, over the years, Frankston has had some really good players, some really colourful players. Probably, you know, you've got, if you can you name probably the top three unique characters you've come across at Frankston? I'll probably not be able to name one, Danny Cassett.
Oh, yeah. Well, look, there's a couple come to my mind, because now that I am getting near 88, my mind goes a bit blank sometimes, but one interesting one was I had a guy by the name of Peter Boyd played with me back in 1978 and was a great player in our premiership team. Yep. And years later, his young son came to play with us, Matty Boyd. Yep. You'll be familiar with that name. Yep. Now Matty only played in our reserves because you could see he was flourishing and one of the scouts kept contacting me and asking me how young Boyd's going. And anyhow, Matty left us, and this particular scout saw to it that he went down to Werribee. Went down to Werribee and finished up at Werribee. And I think at that stage, Werribee was sharing with, Williamstown and Werribee. There was something going on between the two anyhow. And we went on and on and on with Werribee and then across to the Bulldogs, and went on to captain the Bulldogs and was there when they won their flag. I think that's the way the history went. It gets a bit complicated because Werribee and these other clubs have shared with North Melbourne.
North Ballarat as well.
North Ballarat, so yeah. We won't get back into that or the listeners will get lost, the same as what we all do when we start to go over some of these alignments and what was happening back and it all started to take place. But Boydie was one. There was Michael Hibbert. Well, Hibbert's still going now with Melbourne. I don't know whether he's out injured or not, but he's been playing a regular player with them for quite a few seasons now. Tory Dixon played at Frankston and went to the Bulldogs and played in the Premiership. Mark Bagley went up to Essendon. I don't know whether he would have got to 100 games, but made a name for himself. Sammy Lloyd went to Richmond.
Yep.
And Nick Newman went to Sydney and now is at Carlton and still playing.
Which is a great story. Brian, I got one question as well. In your time as CEO or your time involved with the Frankston Football Club, Frankston Football Club is the only club in the VFL who has never been in alignment. How many offers did you get through the journey to align with certain clubs? Was there many offers that come down your way?
Well, I said to you that Adrian Lloyd left in 94 and he went to Carlton when we turned into the State League and the VFL and it really all happened in 2000, I was called up to Carlton and Adrian was present at a meeting. We had a chat to them and I wasn't too convinced when that was happening that I'll mention the name of John Elliott wanted to get his hands on, I felt, our poker machines because we'd got our pokies mid-90s at Frankston. They put us on the map financially. So I didn't go along with that. We had that offer, then we had another offer at St Kilda. Well, all that was happening, they were going to supply us with two trainers. They weren't going to pay their own players at that stage. Well, there was a little bit of a barney about that because no one was quite sure how all this alignment scenario was going. And the most legitimate one I came across was North Melbourne. We had Donald McDonald came up and represented the club and spoke to us about that. And as it was all going on, I said to Donald, who was a fantastic guy, a fantastic man at Werribee, won them a flag. a true gentleman of game. I said, listen, Donald, what do you really think about? Do you really want to North Melbourne to align with Frankston? I said, do you think that's a good way around? He said, to be quite honest with you, he said, I don't think it is. I don't think it would be much good. So we spoke to those three clubs, and I would never have gone along with it anyhow.
Nah.
I would have resigned from the committee if they decided to do otherwise.
You did the right thing, Brian. We're at the end of the show. Brian, we really appreciate you joining us tonight and chatting about, reminiscing about your great career at Frankston. And thank you very much for joining us. And yeah, looking forward to catching up down at Frankston later on in the year. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Brian.
Good on you, fellas. See you later.
Brian Mace, absolute legend. Last year at the end of the show.
We'll see
you all again next week. You've been listening to VFL Rewind here on 94.1 FM 3WBC.
I told my husband that he is not going to climb up on the ladder anymore.